If you were in a taxi today, you may have already noticed that there has been an increase in fares, fare prices, that is, from today. This is part of the 12% increase. The flat fare for a taxi has risen from €3.80 to €4.20. Then if you look at night time, Sundays and bank holidays, the flat fare has increased to €4.80. I'm joined now by a spokesperson with the National Private Hire Taxi Association. That is Jim Waldron. How are you this afternoon, Jim?
How are you, Ciara? Good, thanks very much.
So the increase, why as a taxi driver do you feel like this is needed at the moment?
Ciara, this is a long time coming. The last fare increase we had was back in 2018. In 2020, we were due a 5% increase, but COVID came along and the increase wasn't imposed at the time. So we operated at a loss of 5%. Over the previous few years, and you know, 5, 8, and 12 means we get effectively we're getting a 7% increase for the last 2 years. And if you look at the obvious thing you just mentioned on your reports there, the cost of fuel, that's our biggest outlay. It's gone up by 63% or so. The cost of servicing your car, the cost of replacing your tyres, and the cost of living for a taxi driver to actually make a living has gone up as well. So we have to get the fare increase to help us survive. Now, I can tell you, we can justify a bigger increase, but obviously that was rejected, like, you know.
So tell me, have you had passengers in your taxi today?
I have indeed, yeah. And to be honest, nobody noticed. I did have a discussion with one person about it because I actually took your call this morning about coming on today while she was in the car. And we had a discussion about it, and she said, sure, isn't everybody entitled to a fare increase? Everybody entitled to an increase at the moment. And her comment to me wasn't, aren't the politicians going to get it now? €6,500 per year increase when they agreed the public service agreement. I think she was more disappointed with the politicians than she is the taxi drivers.
And if you get somebody into your taxi, Jim, that is, that's, I guess, very annoyed about this situation, would say somebody maybe working in the private sector who hasn't seen any increases, feels like they're just bleeding money at the moment, what would your response be to them?
I can understand that everybody, including taxi drivers, are finding it very difficult in all walks of life at this stage. Most taxi drivers are not unreasonable. And we generally, if people haven't got money, we generally don't press them for it, to be perfectly honest about it. Now, I'm not saying we drive around like a charity and do it for nothing. We don't. We obviously have to make a living. But if there are exceptional cases, that talk to the taxi driver. But, you're talking about €1.20 on €10. And a €10 fare is probably going a couple of kilometres and that type of thing. So I would say that, unfortunately, some people who can't afford €1.20 might decide not to take the taxi. But generally speaking, people use the taxi out of convenience. That's generally speaking. And, if they want the convenience, it is going to cost them 12% more.
Okay, well, thank you for joining me. That is Jim Waldron, spokesperson with the National Private Hire Taxi Association. And the cost of taxis in this country are increasing by 12% from today. So the flat fare, this is just, during a weekday, during the day at the weekend, will go from €3.80 to €4.20. But now at night time, Sundays and bank holidays, the flat fare rate will increase to €4.80. Do you often get a taxi around this county? Let me know how much it's costing you. Have you noticed an increase over the past few weeks or so? And what will this 12% news mean for you? Of course, you can text into us or WhatsApp. It's 0833 97 97 97. You can also phone us on 045 898 999. Now, you may have heard earlier on today the storm names for autumn winter 2022-2023 have been revealed. Will your name come up on this list? We will let you know, because Evelyn Cusack, of course, of Met Erin, is joining me now. Good afternoon to you, Evelyn.
Hello, how are you?
I am very good.
Yeah, good.
We're good. We want to move in a few minutes on to the weather that's happening in the next few days. But before that, Evelyn, we want to hear about the storm names. The list for 2022-2023 is what?
I won't go through them all, but the first one is Anthony. So all the Tonys and Anthonys out there can be happy. Now, there's a slightly unusual spelling because it was contributed by our Dutch partner. So it's spelled as A-N-T-O-N-I, but it's the same name, Anthony. Then the second one is Betty. which we're all familiar with that. And the third one is Killian, or Killeen, Killian. And then the fourth one is Daisy. And I believe that was inspired by Ordinary People, and that the...
Daisy Edgar Jones, isn't it?
Yeah, seemingly. Now, it doesn't sound very stormy or dangerous to
no,
me.
No, it sounds like a nice storm.
A nice storm, yeah, if there's any such thing, gosh. And then there's Elliot, Fleur, Glenn. So we probably won't get too much further than Glenn, I think. Hopefully we won't even get that far. But, you know, maybe there could be a song out of it by the end of the season. You never know.
Because I'm, you know, obviously they have, what is it, about 20 names here that they release, is it?
Yeah.
And, you know, they go on further, like Ida, Joanna or Joanna, whichever way you want to pronounce it, Khaled, yeah. Lowe's, Mark, Nelly, Owain, Priya, Rudon or Ruan.
Ruan. Yeah.
I'm not a Gaelgore, okay. Evelyn, don't be mad at me. I'm really bad. Sam, Tobias, Val and Vutter? Is that the last one?
Yeah, very good. Your Dutch is better than your Irish.
I know, that's terrible, but it's true. Have you had a storm named after Evelyn?
Well, I'm involved in making the list, so, you know, I couldn't possibly put in my own name. That would just be crazy. But in fact, there was a storm Evelyn last year, but it didn't really make
the headlines.
You
swear you had nothing to do with it.
No, it came up from Meteo France. The Southwest group consists of Portugal, Spain, France and Belgium, and they had a storm Evelyn. Evelyn's quite a common name in France, and there's actually a very famous meteorologist who's been on television for years called Evelyn. But anyway, it fizzled out over the Atlantic, so it didn't turn into anything. So,
tell me more about these meetings that you have to come up with the names. Like, what happens? Are you literally all sitting around in a circle? Because I'm not trying to make light of it. I totally understand that these storms can be so destructive, and we've seen that. But in a lighter way, I can just imagine everybody, you know, like trying to name a baby. They're just throwing in anything they possibly can.
Well, it's a good question. And yeah, look, today's a light day, you know. Now, the weather of the weekend's another matter. We'll talk about that before we finish. But, you know, storms are named, they're violent, destructive forces of nature, and they're named for very severe weather. And we only name a storm when we expect orange to red level impacts, severe conditions. And, you know, people should listen to the local authorities and the Gardaí and the Office of Emergency Planning, etc. So we all take storm warnings, etc., very serious. But it's good to be light today. And in that spirit, we have different groups in Europe. And the one we have here is Ireland, the UK and the Netherlands. So to answer your question, we did meet physically, as we say, a few years ago. But since COVID now, we have, you know, our WebEx meeting. So it is quite fun. And I always insist on one or two of our traditional Gaelic names. The one you butchered there, Ruan.
Oh my God, you're really going for me here. I have no chance of surviving.
No, I'm the same. You know, I still get nightmares about Peg Sayers. Now, you're so young, you don't even know who Peg Sayers is.
Do you know what? I have a really embarrassing thing to tell you, Evelyn. We were talking
you're
about...
Related?
No. No. Maybe
she's
today.
She's your great aunt.
No, but a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, we were speaking about Peg Sayers. I thought she was a make-believe character. So I never did her in school. But it's only in the past few months that I've actually been educated about poor old Peg.
Well, Peg Sayers, I know this is terrible, but, you know, it's like in those films, like you literally throw the book out the window when you're finished reading the art. It's terrible. And I believe she was a great character in reality, but it was her great nephew. Now, we're digressing here. I hope you're not in a hurry. It was her great nephew who actually wrote the book. And it was so dry and it was horrible. For imagine teenagers learning about this island on a rock. I mean, it's interesting now, and it's part of our heritage, etc. But it's not to be. It's not something to teach, you know, teenagers the love of Irish. I mean, come on, like,
yeah, so they weren't reaching the right demographic there with that one.
I mean, I'd actually probably find it interesting now. You know, as you get older, you get sad. But there you go. That's all in front of you. So, look, you're lucky you didn't have Peg Sayers.
Well, I'm glad to get that from
actually,
you.
Actually, Peg would be a good store name in homage.
You have to write that down for next year. That is a really... There you go. Look at me. I'm helping you out. I want to ask you one thing because it means it's very important to me because I am heading over to Electric Picnic and unfortunately Met Aaron has issued a weather advisory for Ireland. There's 70,000 people going to Electric Picnic this year. It's the first festival in three years there. But it's not great news.
You're probably so excited, are you?
I am. I'm very excited. Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, I'll courier a copy of Peg Sayers for you.
I'm waiting.
It's taking shelter from the storm. I know. Okay. I'm sorry. The weather doesn't look great. Okay. I hope we don't have to name Storm Anthony. And I'm only half joking now. Now, listen, it's not going to be bad the whole time.
Okay.
So just bring good rain gear.
Right.
A nice jumper, good woolly socks, just in case it's a bit chilly. And, have a brilliant time and just be careful. Now, there could be some very heavy rain, maybe Saturday night. I don't want to give any details because the models are chopping and changing.
Yeah.
Hopefully Met Aaron is wrong. Hopefully all the physics of the atmosphere is wrong and it's going to be a fantastic weekend. But it looks as if it could be very wet and very windy at times, but not the whole time. Some warm sunshine breaking through. So a real mix. So bring a good few layers, that kind of way.
Yes.
And dry and, get your mother to pack you some good dry clothes, okay?
How young do you think I am? My mother packing my clothes for me. Do you know what? I'm going to go out today and get... I actually met a lady in the shop yesterday and she goes to me... I met a lady in the shop yesterday and she goes to me, you need to get yourself a great rain jacket. I can tell you're shopping for Electric Picnic. So I'm going to do that before I head off tomorrow. It was absolutely lovely speaking to you this afternoon.
You too. It's actually good to have a rain jacket in Ireland. You go around in Galway in the summer and it's only the foreigners, the tourists have rain jackets. The Irish people are there shivering like in the rain. Do you ever notice that?
Of course. So it's because it ruins our outfits, Evelyn.
We've
got like that little time of the year to like wear nice like skirts and dresses and stuff like this. And then it like rains on me. Like I've planned these outfits and everything. So
I know. So bring the little outfits, but bring the raincoat to go with them, okay?
I will. It's so all lovely to speak with you. Thank you for giving us...
Take care.
Thanks, Evelyn. She is, of course, Evelyn Cusack, meteorologist of Met Aaron, going through the storm names. But if you, like myself, are heading over to Epe, it's not looking great for the weekend, just get yourself some rain gear. I like Evelyn's advice. We'll be absolutely grand. We know with the 1st of September being today, the first thing you're thinking about is back to school. But across the month of September, Sea Change, that is the national programme dedicated to ending the stigma and the discrimination that often surrounds mental health. They're launching its 10th annual Green Ribbon campaign, as I said, running across September. And Sea Change team leader Barbara Brennan is on the line. Hello to you, Barbara.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am very well, thank you. So the idea of this campaign, what's behind it?
It started really from a point of looking at the barriers to people accessing support 12 years ago when Sea Change started, because there's lots of fantastic organisations that are out there doing supports and trying to get people in to get help when they're struggling with their mental health. The problem is that a lot of people are afraid to ask for that help in the first instance. So Sea Change was set up with the idea of combating the stigma that exists around mental illness. And the Green Ribbon campaign then started 2 years in, so it's 10 years ago now, to really get that national conversation going. And a really simple thing, by wearing a green ribbon, it shows that you're open to have a conversation and understanding something a little bit different about mental health. And that's really the main key message, is to start a conversation and know that it's okay not to have all the answers.
And the headline this year is "There's no shame in having a mental health difficulty." We have had a really rough 2.5 years, the whole globe, obviously. But we've come out of the pandemic to an extent in terms of, no more lockdowns. But people may be surprised if they don't feel, I guess, totally normal. And they may feel pressure for their mental health to be at a peak level now that, you know, things have lifted so much compared to what they once were and how tough that was on people. And that can kind of worry people in itself. And campaigns like this are there to say it doesn't matter what's happening in your life, good, bad, whatever somebody may describe it as. You can have, I guess, bouts of poor mental health, just like you can have bouts of poor physical health.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing that we're trying to help people understand, that we all have mental health all of the time. So if you have ever been happy, if you've ever been sad, if you've ever been worried, if you've ever been stressed, if you've ever felt low, if you've ever had heartache, all of that and the emotions that we feel and the thoughts that we have, that's what our mental health is. And I suppose the thing that people are afraid of is, you know, being labelled and being judged and being treated differently and the shame that they experience. And that's why people hide when they're not feeling well or they're not feeling good. And it's also that fear of, you know, what if somebody, you know, brings it into my workplace and I lose my job, or what if people shun me from my community, or those type of things. There is a huge amount of fear around it. And we've done research recently that actually 72% of people are saying that they wouldn't want to live with somebody with a mental illness. And that shows...
Did they give a reason behind that?
I think a lot of it is the lack of understanding, because actually only 16% of the people that we surveyed associated the term severe and enduring mental illness with a mental health disorder or condition. And so that's the biggest thing, that people are saying, I don't want to live with somebody, but it's because they don't understand. They don't know what it means and they don't know what the impact is. And that's one of the biggest things for us, is really educating people on mental health, on mental illnesses and the stigma that is attached. And the way that we do that is through campaigns like the Green Ribbon campaign. We have an ambassador program where we teach people to speak appropriately about their mental health difficulties, and we train them how to do that. And then we have those people go out across the whole country telling their story and giving stigma presentations. We also have a workplace program to go into workplaces and help organisations develop a healthy culture of having proper conversations about mental health, but building in mental health policies and procedures so it's a protective piece. So it really is about breaking it down to, let's not treat people differently. It's about making conversations normal, to be able to say, how are you doing? And really listen and really ask. And when somebody says, Asher, I'm fine, to be able to go back and say, no, well, how are you really doing? And just to bring it back down to that really, really normal way of having conversations about anything difficult that we might have. It's exactly the same. And like that, if somebody broke their leg, we'd say, oh, sure, how did you do that? Or how are you feeling now? Or what was that like for you? Mm-hmm. But we shy away from those when it's about mental illness.
And I don't know if it's just an Irish thing within Irish culture, but, you know, you kind of have to ask a couple, how are yous, before you get the answer. Nobody's going to, you know, how are you? Well, like, let me actually tell you, like, the depths of my problems at the moment. It's just never going to happen that way. You kind of do have to, probably the wrong word to use, but push a little bit.
You do. And I suppose that's the thing. It isn't even about always getting the depth of it. Sometimes for somebody to be able to say, do you know what, I'm not having a great day. It doesn't have to be any more than that. But the thing that we see about stigma and shame that surrounds it is that people hide it. So they say, oh, I'm fine, or I'm doing grand, or things are going well, when actually all they want to say is, I'm having a difficult day, or I'm going through something. I don't really want to talk about it, but to not hide it anymore, so that people can step up and say, well, is there something I can do for you? Or what's that like for you? Or have you experienced that before? And it's about those type of things. What would help? You know, so it's really about simplifying the conversation. And for us, it is about being in the mainstream conversations that we have. And that's why, as part of our Green Ribbon campaign, we have some phenomenal partners like AIB, Boots, AIR and Irish Rail. And they're all our distributors. So you can pick up a free ribbon in any of those places around the country. You can also get them at from our website at seachange.ie. And we have all the downloadable resources. And even the statistics that I've given you there earlier on are from guides that we wrote after research that we had conducted nationally. All of those guides are downloadable and free resources for anybody to use. And so that's the kind of thing that we want to have those conversations, and we want people to engage with us. So whether it's engaging from a social media point of view, and we're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of those, or whether it's actually sitting down with somebody and coming into us and saying, well, we need to have a conversation, or workplace saying, well, actually, we want to do something a bit different, and how do we do that? we're there to provide that information and to signpost to other supports that are available as well.
You know, one of the things Sea Change does do is I guess, get informed, as you noted, by the people who have had these lived experiences of different mental health difficulties. But you touched on the ambassadors. Sea Change has over 50 trained ambassadors. It says here they share their stories to challenge mental health stigma and discrimination. Can people listening become an ambassador? And if so, how do they do so?
100%. And to put that in context, I am one of those people because 12 years ago, I was one of the first volunteers for Sea Change to tell my story because I have bipolar disorder 1 and I'm a suicide survivor. I now live well and healthy and I have an incredible life and I now run our National Stigma Reduction Programme.
And so can I just stop you there and ask you, because stigma, keywords you've used throughout this interview. Stigma is very much associated with bipolar disorder. People assume they know exactly what it is. So I'm sure it's very important for you to get the message of how living with that disorder is as somebody actually living with it rather than somebody deciding what it's like.
It is. And I think the thing is, even for anybody listening, you know, everybody who has a diagnosis, they have a different experience than somebody else with the same diagnosis. And that's one of the challenges with mental health issues. But also to say that people can and do get better. You know, I was unwell for an incredibly long time in my life and I never thought I would get better. And that goes to that self-stigma. I wrote myself off. But then I learned how to start looking after my well-being. I started having those conversations and I started facing up to stigma and saying, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be afraid. And I'm going to go and ask for help and I'm going to go to the people in my life. And that's how I started. And then when I started getting better, I wanted to make a difference. So I went to the organisation that I used to be a service user of, and that's Shine. So I used to use their services to support me in my recovery and well-being. And they launched the Sea Change campaign around the same time that I was pushing to make a difference. And I've been on that journey with them. And I'm delighted that we have done a huge amount of work on the volunteer and ambassador programme. So back to your question that you asked about how can people listening get involved. We run a campaign once a year to get new people to come and share their stories. And we do a full suite of training on that as well. So if there's somebody that's interested now, the idea would be to flag it with us, I suppose. So to email us at info@seachange.ie and we can put you on the list. And then in the new year, when we open the interview section, what we ask is that people send us in a little bit of information. We have an application process where people can apply and then we would do interviews and then we do full training on how to appropriately tell your story, your self-care and how to manage while you're going through the process with us. Things like media training, so how to safely tell your story without triggering yourself or somebody else. And how to develop those skills and presentation to do media interviews and those kind of things. So there's lots of different pieces that we will work with our ambassadors for. But in the meantime, there's lots people can do about getting involved. And it might be just starting by wearing a green ribbon or saying, do you know what, I'm going to get a box of green ribbons and bring it into my workplace. So there's lots of things and it's not about waiting until another time when something comes up. It's about looking about what can I do now in my life as it is.
And I think the coolest thing you said there is that you can get better and things can get better for you as they did for you personally. Because going back to the whole broken leg thing, if you have a broken leg, you do have belief that you will feel better, you know, get through this, etc. But when it comes, unfortunately, to the mental health issues, people just doubt themselves immediately. And you can understand why, because mentally they're exhausted, just like your body physically wouldn't be able to start running after a broken leg.
That's right, exactly. And I think that the biggest thing, and this is, you know, we've mentioned that word shame so many times. One of the things that we need to understand is that the antidote to shame is compassion and kindness and love. And so, you know, quite often in Ireland, when we think about self-care, a lot of people kind of say, well, I feel really selfish if I'm taking time to do X, Y, or Z for myself because I'm not doing things for other people. But actually, when you think about it, the opposite of selfish is selfless. So who am I if I amn't myself, and how can I give of myself if I can't give to myself first? So we really need to shift that and start being kinder to ourselves, because the kinder we are to ourselves, the better we can be in support of others. And I think that's a key thing to people who are in a place where they are struggling with their mental health. It's to remind themselves that they're more than this experience. This isn't going to be forever. And tomorrow is a chance for you to start again. And it is about looking at the other parts of, for example, I used to say I am bipolar. I don't say that anymore because I amn't and it isn't me. I'm a team leader, I'm a friend, I'm a partner, I'm an artist. I'm lots of things. And we all are. And I think that's the bit that we need to remember when we are experiencing a difficulty, a mental illness, a physical illness. We start doubting ourselves, like you said. We start having those negative experiences. We need to remind ourselves of the good stuff in our lives and the things that can help. And then from there, start reaching out and saying, OK, what would help me in this moment right now? Is it listening to a piece of music? Is it listening to, a podcast? Is it reaching out to a friend? Is it, maybe going for a walk? Is it going and having a shower? There's lots of different tiny, tiny steps that we can take. And it's about repetitively doing them until we start feeling better.
It's definitely something that people need to check out, our listeners. That is C Change's website. It's SEECHANGE.ie. Lots of details there, including, learning about stigma, how to reduce it, the work that C Change does do, the Green Ribbon campaign running throughout the month of September. And then there's lots of events that are happening, especially this month. Today, obviously, was the launch of the Green Ribbon. But if we look a little closer to home, over in County Leash, Emo Woods, on the 11th of September, which is a Sunday, there's a talk and walk event. Very briefly, Barbara, what are these talk and walk events? Because I see there's another one locally to us in Avondale Forest Park, County Wicklow. That's on the 2nd of October.
That's right, and it's a great partnership. So we have partnered with the Quailshire Forest Parks, with the IFA, that's the Irish Farmers Association, and Mental Health Ireland, to get people out, get people walking and talking while they are out together. It's just about experiencing the things that are around us and seeing the impact that nature has on us. But particularly we find that when people are side by side, so whether they're walking or they're going for a drive together, it's a lot easier to talk to somebody shoulder to shoulder. And that's the piece about starting that conversation. And also to flag, we have a mental health tent down at Electric Picnic. I'm actually on my way there now. I've just left Smock Alley and we're driving down to Leash now. So if you are around and you are going to be at the picnic, come and visit us. Our tent is at Shine and it's going to be in the mind and body section.
Okay,
and
great.
We would love to have conversations with people. But like that, we are going to have events across the month and people will be able to find information about those events both on our website and our social media. So we're Sea Change IRL or Sea Change Ireland across Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn as well.
Well, hopefully I will see you over the next few days, Barbara. It's lovely to speak with you this afternoon. Safe trip down to Stradbally, heading over to Electric Picnic with Sea Change. As Barbara did note, that there's going to be a booth there available in the Shine area, the body and soul kind of area of the festival, if anybody is heading down to head over to them, because this month is the month of the Green Ribbon campaign. There's no shame in having mental health issues, difficulties, whatever word you want to use. And lots of events happen elsewhere. If you want to find those out, head over to seachange.ie's website. The Society of the Irish Motor Industry, today they released the official 222 new vehicle registration figures. That was for August. But with those figures being released, they're calling on the government to extend the electric vehicle supports. That's in Budget 2023. We will hear all about Budget 2023 earlier this year. It was due to be the 11th of October. It will now be Tuesday, the 27th of September. It'll be a very interesting news day. Joining me is the Director General of CIMI, that is Brian Cook. How are you today, Brian?
Not too bad. Good afternoon, Ciara.
Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon to you too. So if we look at the figures first, they did increase 36.7%. That's compared to August 2021. That is just for new car registrations. But if we look at the electric vehicles in particular, where do they stand at the moment with the August numbers?
Yeah, well, I think electric vehicle sales again are up in August, up 80%. So we've sold nearly 13,000 new electric vehicles nationally this year, nearly 700 of them in Kildare, which is compared to 7,000 last year. So I suppose it is the one positive aspect. We would have hoped the new car market would have been much stronger, but the electric vehicle piece has certainly held up quite well this year.
Yeah, if we look at the new car registration by county, this is for any new car now, not just electric, between January and August of this year, Kildare's percentage has increased 3.03%. So the 2022 units are at 4,210 compared to 4,086 in 2020. Quite an increase there, obviously. People may have had that extra bit of money to spend. If we look at our neighbours in Wicklow, the increase there was 8.83%. Most counties did have an increase, aside from about 7. Our neighbours over in Laois had a decrease of 1.38%. But the most interesting for me, Brian, was the decrease in Dublin. New car registrations there down 7.38%. Why would that be?
Well, I think the big factor there is car rental. Most of the car rental fleet, even though car hire, the tourist car hire fleet is actually, you know, most of the driving is done outside Dublin. Most of those vehicles have Dublin registrations. And car hire has been, since the start of COVID, has been down significantly. So because the car hire is disproportionate amount is in Dublin, so that actually drags down the numbers in Dublin, you know, compared to the rest of the country.
Okay, looking to budget 2023, we're hearing it earlier, obviously only, what, just over 3 weeks away, 4 weeks probably, just over 3 weeks now today until we hear it. What are you calling for in particular that you'd like to see the government do in terms of the EVs?
Yeah, well, I think we're not asking for anything new. We're actually just asking to continue doing what they're doing at the moment. They have been generous in recent years in terms of electric vehicle supports. So if they can continue the SEAI grants and any other benefits for people purchasing electric cars, I think that is hugely important. It can be done at a relatively low cost of money. In fact, you know, every new electric vehicle, even with a grant, actually contributes to the exchequer. So I think there'd be a win in terms of reduced environmental emissions. There could be a win for consumers who are actually going to save on their fuel costs. But the government can also win as well, because they could actually increase their revenue. So it's a fairly straightforward message. Just, you know, keep the current supports in place, and also don't touch VRT.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon. That's the Director General of the Society of the Irish Motor Industry, Brian Cook. If you look at the five top new electric vehicle car models year to date here in Ireland, number one, Volkswagen ID4, number two, the Hyundai Ioniq, number three, the Kia EV6, number four, the Volkswagen ID3, and number five, the Nissan Leaf. If we look at the market share by engine type so far for the 8 months in 2022, petrol still top, 30.09%, followed by diesel, 27.27%, then hybrid over 20%, electric at 13.31%, and then plug-in electric hybrid, that is at 6.78%.